ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 संसार सागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवात्। श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे। मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशवाम्। भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पदयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो। नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्ववाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम्। जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वया इतरदस् अर्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वराद् तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिकवये यत्सूरयाम्। तेजो वारिमृदम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि। धर्मप्रोज्झितकैतवोऽत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणाम् सताम् वेद्यम् वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदम् तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनम्। श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यदेत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणाम्। निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितम् फलम् शुकमुखादमृगद्रवसंयुतम् पिबद भागवतम् रसमालयम् मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः। सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तावत्त्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नुमाम्। यम् प्रव्रजन्तम् हनुपेतमपेतकृत्यम् द्वैपायनो विरहकातरमज्जुहावाम् पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् मुनिम् हानतोऽस्मि। यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितितीर्षताम् तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणाम् करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तम् व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुम् मुनीनाम्। नारायणम् नमस्कृत्य नरम् चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीम् सरस्वतीम् व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननिन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदा मुरारे मधुरीम् न कनिकापि कापि कापि। नमाहोम् विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन्हिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीम् गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यम् नमः। वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणाम् पादरेणुमभीष्णशा या संहरिगतोद्गीतम् पुनाति भुवनत्रयम् गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः। पीताम्बरम् करविराजितचक्रशङ्खम् कौमोदगी सरसिजम् करुणासमुद्रम् राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासम् वातालयेशमनिशम् हृदि भावयामि। कोमलम् कूजयन् वेणुम् श्यामलोऽयम् कुमारका वेदवेद्यपरम् ब्रह्म भासदाम् पुरतो मम। मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयदे गिरिम् यल्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। ॐ श्रीकृष्णाय नमः। श्रीमते आध्याये नमः। सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनम्। Govinda Govinda. പരീക്ഷ ലോകാൻ കർമ്മചിതാൻ ബ്രാഹ്മണോ നിർവേദമായാൽ നാസ്ത്യന്തകൃതകൃതേന തസ്മാൽ തദ്വിജ്ഞാനാർത്ഥം സഗുരുമേവ അഭിഗച്ഛേൽ ശമിൽ പാണി ശ്രോത്രിയം ബ്രഹ്മനിഷ്ഠം. ദിസ് ഈസ് ദി സ്റ്റേറ്റ്മെന്റ് ഇൻ ദി ഉപനിഷത്സ് എബൌട്ട് അപ്രോച്ചിങ് എ സ്പിരിച്വൽ മാസ്റ്റർ. സോ വി ഹാവ് സീൻ ലാസ്റ്റ് സൺഡേ ദാറ്റ് ബേസ്ഡ് ഓൺ this verse from Mundaka Upanishad, where it talks about that the after exhausted by activities in this world, one comes to realize that there is no happiness to be derived from that, except that it binds a person to the material world more. So this is the very primary understanding before one begins spiritual life, that I have worked very hard in this world to become happy, but happiness never came from that. From this one can understand that by working one cannot be happy at the ultimate happiness won't come from simply by work. This is one thing. Secondly, pariksha logan karmachidan brahmano nirvedamaya, that begins brings vairagyam into a person's mind, detachment from this world, and when that comes he realizes that nastyagrita kridena, why is that I'm missing that happiness in this world. And the inquiry begins at that point, and it is then that tadvijnanartham, at that time for the sake of knowledge, sadgurumeva abhigache, one should approach a spiritual master. Shotriyam brahmanishtam, he should be situated properly in Brahman, or he should be a realized soul. This is the basic qualifications discussed in the Mundaka Upanishad. Mundaka Upanishad talks about these things. So we have seen that that this realization first in the Bhagavatam, how that is spoken is that the while Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit over 7 days time, every day while finishing Bhagavatam he spoke in such a way that he will bring some examples of paramahamsas. He will bring some examples of paramahamsas. Paramahamsa is a person who is already situated on the spiritual platform, completely on a spiritual platform, which means that they have already realized the truth, and due to their high degree of realization, they see that there is something beyond the material world. So Bhagavatam, when it finishes, it will mention this. Srimal Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. It is very dear to the Vaishnavas. Why? Because in this Bhagavatam, Yasmin Paramahamsa Megam Amalam, what is discussed is Paramahamsa Dharmam, or the Paramahamsa's activities. Paramahamsa is a very elevated stage in the spiritual life. Only elevated souls, very highly elevated, who have completely gone outside this material world, can discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, in the end of every day, Sukadeva Goswami brought some examples of paramahamsas. You can see, in the first day, on the 7 days when he spoke Bhagavatam to Parikshit, at the end of first day, the personality he brought up was Kapila Vasudev, who wrote Kapilam, or we discussed that in the third canto. If you remember, in Kapila Vasudev instructed Devahudi Devi about the Paramahamsa Dharma, or the Bhakti Yoga process, and mixed with Jnanam, knowledge and the devotion. It was discussed by the great personality Kapila Vasudev, who is incarnation of Krishna. On the second day of Srimad Bhagavatam, when he finished discussing about this personality Jadabharata, who is the next personality who discussed the Paramahamsa Dharmam on a higher level with Rahugana. Absolutely no connection with this material world. That was his position. And then on the third day, we see the great personality Prahlada. At the end of third day, we saw Prahlada discussing the Paramahamsa Dharmam with all the great souls who were assembled there at the time of Lord Narasimha's appearance. So you can see here The first day it was Kapila Vasudev. On the second day it was Jadabharata. On the third day it was Prahlada, who spoke about this Paramahamsa Dharma. Paramahamsa Dharma. Then on the fourth day, at the end of fourth day, Sukadeva Goswami brought up the object of all Paramahamsa Dharma, which is Krishna. So Krishna's appearance therefore happens on the end of fourth day. When Sukadeva Goswami was talking to Parikshit, you'll notice that on the end of fourth day, this discussion between Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami ended up discussing about Krishna. Krishna's appearance, that means the object of all Paramahamsas, the goal or the final final goal of all the Paramahamsas is Krishna. So Krishna's appearance was discussed on the fourth day. And then we see there, after that, we have the discussion on the fifth day. Sukadeva Goswami finishes the discussions with Parikshit Maharaj, discussing about the marriage of Krishna and Rukmini. That marriage, as you see in the Bhagavatam, when it is spoken in a story form, it tells you about the history of the marriage, how it happened, and all the pastimes associated with that. But behind that, there is a very high philosophy expressed there in that. That you will find in the commentaries of the great acharyas, they will mention about that. So there you will see Rukmini Devi, who executing this Paramahamsa Dharmam, how she reached Krishna. That's what it is, the point that the Bhagavatam is making. How by executing Paramahamsa Dharmam, Rukmini Devi attained Krishna. That is what is the next day that's spoken. That is the fifth day. And on the sixth day, at the end of sixth day, Sukadeva Goswami spoke about another Paramahamsa, who is Dattatreya Rishi, whom we are discussing now. So Dattatreya Rishi comes as at the end of sixth day, when Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit. This discussion between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit, with reference to Krishna's instructions to Uddhava, happens at the very end of Bhagavatam. That is on the sixth day. And you can see on the seventh day, by the end of seventh day, Parikshit himself became a Paramahamsa. So, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam, it is a pure, free from all other material contamination, this Puranam. Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam, very dear to the Vaishnavas. Why? Yasmin, Paramahamsa Mekam Amalam Jnanam Param Giyate. Paramahamsa Dharmam is discussed here. Paramahamsa Dharmam. And it is our responsibility and duty to understand this Paramahamsa Dharmam. That is the most important thing in the Srimad Bhagavatam. What this Paramahamsa Dharmam is. How they, all these great Paramahamsas, how they reach that state of consciousness. And how at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, simply by hearing 7 days Srimad Bhagavatam, how Parikshit became a Paramahamsa. Parikshit became a Paramahamsa. This is all Bhagavatam is about. Yatra jnana viraga bhakti sahidam naishkarmya mavishkradam yat shrunvan vibhadan vicharana varo bhaktya vimuchir naraha. That yatra jnana viraga bhakti sahidam jnanam vairagyam bhakti. These are the three things what one will receive from Srimad Bhagavatam. What are they? Knowledge, renunciation and devotion. Yatra jnana viraga bhakti sahidam naishkarmyam avishkradam. Naishkarmyam. Naishkarmyam means karmam, free from all bondage. Free from all bondage. Action in Krishna consciousness. Naishkarmyam avishkradam. That is what is discussed. Therefore, yat shrinvan vibhadan vicharana varo. One who hears it. Vibhadan, one who studies it. And vijarana paro, one who scrutinizes it very carefully, bhaktya vimucher naraha, he will get liberated from this material world once for all. He'll be liberated from here. Yat shrunvan vibhadan vijarana paro, bhaktya vimucher naraha. So you can see where Srimad Bhagavatam is taking us to. Why Paramahamsa Dharmam is discussed in the Bhagavatam? Why examples were given every day while finishing Srimad Bhagavatam? And eventually, how example was given, how Parikshit became a Paramahamsa himself after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the way Bhagavatam flows in the in these 7 days' time. So, in this understanding, we saw also that the we try to understand Krishna. We try to understand Krishna. But Krishna is already there within us, isn't it? Our heart, he is very much situated. And at the same time, once till that realization, once that realization comes, that Krishna's presence inside, we are already liberated. That is the point where we are liberated. So, it is a very difficult subject, because in the Ekadasha Skandam, mukti is discussed, liberation is discussed, and therefore it also becomes very difficult to explain that. In this world, we can achieve many things by our action, isn't it? Karma. Through karma, you can achieve many things. You can achieve many things in this world by karma. So, anything what you acquire by work, you acquire something that you will lose it all. You can lose it also. Just like it has come, it can go also in the same way. Krishna is not like that. This is the difference we have to understand. It's a very subtle thing in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam that Krishna is not something to be acquired. We are always thinking that I have to work hard to become a devotee. I have to work hard to realize the self. Actually, it takes only second, Shastra says, to realize the self. Why is that? Because it's not something to be acquired or achieved. It's already there inside. Inside in us, it is the one who is keeping us going. Only thing is that consciousness is not there in us. We are not recognizing it. We are not accepting that. Therefore, in ignorance, we are acting in many, many different ways. That's the main point. In the Bhagavad Gita, if you look carefully, you will see this. Karmani akarmaye pashyel akarmanija karmaya sa buddhiman manusheshu sayukta krishna karmakrat. Bhagavad Gita says like this. What does it mean? Karmani akarmaye pashyel. You see, Krishna has no karmam. He is fully free from everything. And he is the one who is always existing. Krishna is always existing. Karmam happens within Krishna. In Krishna's this variegated active creations, Krishna's variegated creations, in his this manifestation, karmam is happening. So one who sees karmam in akarmam, akarmam here it means Krishna. Karmani akarmaya pashyet, one who sees karmam is happening within Krishna, he has understood what is karmam. Akarmanija karmayet, and Krishna is always free from karmam, and karmam is happening in Krishna's control. It is not outside Krishna's control. That's why that verse is a very difficult verse sometimes to understand. Karmanya karmaya pashyel. Akarmanija karma. One who sees this, what? That karmam is happening in Krishna's creation, but behind that it is Krishna. Krishna is behind it. That is why Krishna allows us to do all this karmam. All of us who are engaged in different karmam, it is because Krishna has allowed us to do that. It is Krishna's world we are acting. It is Krishna's manifestation. We are doing all the good things, bad things, everything what we do. It's all completely under Krishna's control. That's what that verse is saying. Karmani akarmaya pashyel. Similarly, akarmanija karmaya. And that liberated situation, Krishna's position is such, he has no karmam. He is not affected by any of these things. That is why you will see in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, Krishna is acting, doing so many different things, but unaffected by anything. Karmanija karmayel. Sabuddhiman manusheshu sayukta krishna karmakrat. One who has understood this, and one who is situated in that platform of spiritual life, he is acting properly. Otherwise not. Most of us are acting on false ego, isn't it? False ego is what is keeping us going in this world. I've done this, I've done it, I did it, I'll do this, I'll do that. This is all happening. Why? Because our level of consciousness is like that. We have not understood who is doing it. It's happening because behind it is Krishna. Krishna is keeping this. And in that, our false ego is actually acting. So that's why it is said like that. So, this our soul, spiritual part and parcel of Krishna, is always existing there. It is not to be something to be acquired. I don't have to become like this. It's already there. It's only what is required is the knowledge that is necessary to clear ourselves from this ignorance. That's why agradakrudena, agradam, anything which is agradam, because it has not been manufactured. This thing called soul has not been manufactured. It's always existing. Always existing. And agradakrudena, so you cannot catch it with something by your work. You cannot catch it with your work. Work will not help you to catch it because it's something always existent. Then that will not take us back to the realization of the truth. When our false ego completely disappears from inside, then we will understand what this relationship is with Krishna. When the false ego completely disappears. For example, from the lower planetary system, Padala Lokam, right up to the highest planetary system, Satilokam, you can acquire by effort. Isn't it? So for example, performing sacrifices, pious activities, you can go to the heavenly planets, you can even go right up to the Brahmalokam, by you can reach there. Similarly, go down to the Padala Lokam also, you can go by your work, effort. Whichever planet you want to travel to, you can work for that, in that direction. There are different processes available for that. But, this is as far as the within this universe is concerned. The soul can move based on karma. Karma will allow you to move from one planet to another. But all within this cycle or within these limitations of Brahmandam of this universe. But if you want to move out of this and go away from here, go back to the spiritual world, then it is not something which you have to work for. Work won't bring that. By putting a lot of effort in different directions, what's required is, it's more than work, it is strong upasana. Upasana, that means Krishna consciousness understood by by the great sages, the way they have shown us the route. So that's the only way you can get there. This false ego is a very, very powerful thing in us. As soon as we wake up in the morning, we wake up this false ego, isn't it? That who wakes up first? The body or the false ego? False ego wakes up first, isn't it? I got up, that itself, it starts there. Then the body wakes up, the mind and the body and all comes out later. So this ahankaram or false ego is always there inside us, always ready to jump as it gets an opportunity to do anything. So in the Shastram it is generally compared to a male elephant, that too, a single male elephant, single male elephant. Why? Single male elephant is a very dangerous thing. Elephants, when they travel in the wild forest, if they go in a group, they are not dangerous. They are not dangerous. They move on together, all together, and they have an understanding mutually to protect all, and they work together in that. They are not frightened. So they don't act in a troublesome way. But often what happens is, this single elephant, male elephant, when he is alone, he is very frightened. He is very frightened. So because of the fear inside, the elephant can react very badly sometimes. And if you are caught in front of him, he will finish up. He will finish you. That's the nature of the single male elephants. So what normally happens is, this single male elephant, he is not fearful of anything except the lion in the forest. Except the lion in the forest. Except the lion in the forest. So what he does is, he is always so fearful of the lion that he won't even sleep. He will stand up and sleep. While standing, he will be sleeping. Because he is frightened that if he lies down, if the elephant, the lion attacks, he won't be able to resist. So he stands up and sleeps. And while standing up and sleeping, he dreams about this lion. He dreams about the lion. Not only he dreams about the lion while standing up and sleeping, sometimes he gets a heart attack and he collapses there. the lion collapses there. Sorry, the elephant collapses. Just by dreaming about a lion in the sleep, the elephant gets a heart attack and he dies. And he dies. This is how much they are frightened, how much they are frightened of the lion, the elephants. Our false ego is like that. Our false ego is very much similar to that. This false ego will go on doing different things till one day a spiritual master catches him, and the moment the discussion happens to the spiritual master, immediately that elephant dies there. The false ego dies with that at that point. The false ego dies at that point. This is a comparison in the Upanishads. That the Upanishad says that this death of the elephant or death of the false ego while seeing the spiritual master and enduring that transaction or discussions between the spiritual master and the disciple, what happens is the knowledge of the self is lightened, of the soul is lightened. As soon as the soul is lightened up, immediately all attachment to the material world goes away. Along with that, he also becomes conscious of the importance of spiritual realization. And the work begins from that point. It is not a simple thing as we think about it. The process is like this, that Krishna comes as the spiritual master, isn't it? Krishna comes as the spiritual master to help. Although spiritual master won't say that, but Krishna comes as the spiritual master to deliver the person from that ignorance, to deliver the person from the ignorance what he has acquired in throughout his life and many lifetimes before. Until the false ego disappears, the spiritual life has not really started till the false ego disappears. And the false ego don't disappear very easily. It carries us from one point to another. So Krishna is saying here that the Brahmana Uvacha Santime Guravo Rajan Bhavo Buddhiva Ashridaha Yado Buddhim Vadaya Mukto Adami Hadachranum. That Brahmana says to Yadu that the Santime Guravo Rajan, I had many spiritual masters in my life who have helped me to realize this. Now the that knowledge which has come to the disciple in the form of knowledge, that is a spiritual master, that knowledge has come from the spiritual master. And what does that knowledge means? That that we have at the moment our very strong identification with the body, isn't it? Very strong identification with the body. Now, when this identification goes away, I exist outside this body, beyond the body. I do exist beyond the body. When that consciousness comes to someone, you can say that he has received the knowledge properly. No amount of, studying the books, studying Upanishad, studying Bhagavad Gita, that all help you to get to that point. But at some point in time, that knowledge has to come very strongly in a person that he will not fall from that position anymore. That whatever happens, he is still able to discriminate between the body and the soul. That's necessary. Between the body and the soul. Let's take it this way. Let's look at this way. Somebody who has approached that we have an understanding that someone has that pure consciousness. That in that consciousness, he will be able to understand the Upanishads much better. Upanishads knowledge are mostly centered around this understanding of the soul and the body. Because we are not able to get to that point of that I am not, we repeatedly say to others, I am not this body, but it doesn't mean anything to any one of us. We always say this, I am not this body. But as soon as the body is hurt a bit, we are back into the body again. So that is not proper realization of this. All situations, in all conditions, if one can always separate the body from the soul and to be situated on that spiritual platform, unaffected by what happens to the body, is the proper position of the the state of consciousness, what is required. So, but the mind starts moving, isn't it? Mind starts moving. Mind won't allow that to happen. Mind won't be able to hold on to that. Although theoretically you may have understood many things. Just like, if you look at it this way. You see, in this world, most of the people take to religion for what? They take to religion for a peaceful life in this world. Always there is fear, what will happen tomorrow, what will happen with my wealth, with my assets. Just like when Lehman Brothers is shaking, whole world is shaking, isn't it? So same thing, everyone is frightened, the fear is there. So similarly, various other things also in life, what will happen to all my family life, what will happen to my society, what will happen to this, all this has come from the fear inside, isn't it? It has come from the fear inside. So this fear will not easily go away. And that will always be shaken by the mind. There will always be shake. Mind will start immediately reacting to that. Just like we are working, and some people who are religiously inclined, they will approach the deity whom they are praying to, or make this correct for me, let this happen in the way I want that to happen. Or they'll pray for different things, isn't it? Either for job or marriage or this or that, whatever it is. There'll be so many prayers to Krishna in different ways. We believe in these prayers, isn't it? We go and pray to Krishna saying this. So actually, when a good thing or a bad thing happens in this world, when anything good or bad happens in this world, who is monitoring this in us? It's our mind is monitoring, isn't it? It's a mind which gets affected by that. Just like in this world, so many things happen. You get disturbed because immediately the mind gets involved in this, isn't it? So, anubhavam or experience in this world, and the after effect of that experience by the mind is actually causing the problem. It's actually causing the problem. If it is distressing or distressful, then you feel that distress because of the mind. Say the mind wasn't there, what will happen? There will be no distress also. Similarly, happiness also, you feel happy, something has gone the way you wanted it to happen. Then you feel happy, why? Because you're feeling that the mind is telling you, oh, it has all happened in the way I wanted it to happen. So you feel happy about it. So you can see here that the happiness and distress has come from the mind, not from the experience as such. Only because of the presence of the mind inside that you are experiencing that happiness and distress. Now, out of these two things, the experience is not under your control. This is the important point. The experience of this world, so many things will happen. That's not under your control. But the mind is under your control. What Krishna is saying is that the mind is under your control. Instead of going and praying to Krishna, control this for me, do that for me, Krishna is saying to us, in throughout, this is the Vedic philosophy, is like this. Instead of correcting the situation outside and praying to Krishna, make this happen in this way for me, make that happen in that way for me, or because I'm thinking that if I have that experience, my mind will be happy. Instead of that, Krishna says that you develop a mind in such a way that the mind can handle any situation, which is the right thing to do, rather than trying to correct the situation. We have a strength of mind to handle either good thing or bad thing, because mind is under your control. The experiences in this world are not under your control. That will come and go. Different things can happen. You will have no control on any of these things. If AIG goes bust, can you do anything about it? Or if it doesn't go bust, can you do anything about it? So all the different things what's happening all around you, so many things will come in life, that's how it is goes on. So many good things will come, so many bad things will come. Instead of keep on adjusting the good and bad things in this world, Krishna is saying that if this mind is brought under control, you are ready for spiritual life. Otherwise not. You are ready for spiritual life. Otherwise not. So what makes you strong and what makes you weak is the mind. What makes you strong And what makes you weak is the mind, not the external world. So accordingly, if you have trained the mind in such a way that it has the generally materialistic life makes the mind weaker. Spiritual life makes the life stronger. That is why Adhyalpa Chinda, Adhyalpika life is necessary. Because only through Adhyalpa Chinda, why it is important is like this. That this mind, which is in us, how does it wake up in the morning? Just like if all the experiences in this world is controlled by mind, who controls the mind then? That's an important question, isn't it? Every time something happens, you get disturbed. Say bad thing happens, you get disturbed. What gets disturbed? The mind gets disturbed. But when this mind goes to sleep at night, isn't it? But who wakes him up in the morning? The soul. So that means, just like if there is a controller of the experiences which affects you through the mind, there is something else which controls the mind also, which is the soul. Krishna is saying, we are that soul and not this mind, not these experiences. Unless and until we come to this understanding that we have to be fixed on the spiritual platform, on the soul platform, otherwise all these things will control us, the mind, the intelligence, the senses, the experiences, sense objects, all these things will dictate to us. And as long as we are acting on that level, we will always be in trouble. That's what it is spoken here. That it will keep on shaking us. Which one? This mind will keep on shaking us. You may have studied everything very theoretically from Upanishads and other literature. You may have understood all these principles by studying them. But it is not firm inside. It has not affected yourself enough that you have the control on the mind. In order that knowledge what has come from Upanishads, to get it firmly established inside, what is required is vairagyam. That is why it is stressed here. Krishna is talking about this incident with King Yadu's discussions with the Brahmana is only for this reason, that unless there is vairagyam in life, detachment or renunciation, it is not going to happen. It will always be like this, wobbly. Always wobbly. So, in order that wobbly to stop, that means that earlier stage, the knowledge has come from the books, but you're not establishing that knowledge. Jnanam sarvado badham, they call it. Sarvado badham means nobody can shake you from that position anymore. And that is the kind of realization necessary for us to engage. Only then you are situated spiritually. Otherwise you are not. You are situated on a material platform. If every small disturbance happens in this world disturbs us, then where is the difference between the spiritually advanced spiritual personality and a material personality? Material personality will get disturbed. But spiritual personality also gets disturbed. What difference it makes then? So the point here is, this knowledge of the self is so important that unless one acquires this knowledge of the soul, he will always slip back into the mental platform. He'll slip back into the mental platform or intellectual platform and he will suffer from there. Mental platform cannot solve the problems because by creation, Krishna's arrangement is such that the mind also is controlled by the soul. In the morning. Who wakes up the mind in the morning? We are going to sleep at night and somebody is waking us up, isn't it? Somebody is waking us up in the morning. That's why we are able to wake up in the morning. So many things, if you analyze Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, you will find out all these things. So that person who wakes us up in the morning, that's a soul. That's Krishna's part and parcel, who wakes us up in the morning. When we go to bed at night while sleeping, who puts us to sleep? It's not that I say, I'm going to sleep now. I want to sleep. But unless there is sanction from inside, somebody withdraws our mind back to himself, to the soul, the mind will not allow you to sleep. Sometimes you notice that people, when they get older, they find it very difficult to sleep, isn't it? They may not sleep, half sleep, half wake and stay, they carry on like this. Why? Because of the change what is happening inside. how the mind, which is a part of the subtle body, how it's getting affected. We'll discuss that later. But important point to remember here is, this waking up business and putting us into deep sleep, the soul does that. The soul does that. Say for example, while you are sleeping, somebody, you are not awake yet, someone called you by name, whatever your name is, two, three times he called you, you woke up straight away. Who did that? The mind wasn't there. You were sleeping. Mind was active. Again, the soul is taking care of that. That's why when somebody is sleeping, when you wake up, it's not that he has come to his mind and senses yet. But the soul can directly act through the sense of ear, or it can act through the mind also, whichever way it is necessary. So there is a complete control of all the senses and the mind from behind, which is, Krishna is doing that. In the spiritual level. In the spiritual level, it's controlled like that. So, when this spiritual control from behind is perfect, it is at that point that this false ego collapses. False ego in a person collapses. So, here he says here, then, Sandhime Guravo Rajan Bhavo Buddhivashridaha. That although I have attained a spiritual position, I had to work very hard to establish myself in that platform, not to fall from there again. And I've got it firmly fixed there, so I don't get affected by anything. He says, who says this? The Dattatreya Maharshi says to King Yadu. This is an important thing in the Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam. When you study this, you will notice a lot of things related to the soul rather than the body. Everything is related to the soul there. So, generally, this process of spiritual life is that initially from acquire some knowledge from various literature, then you start getting yourself first convinced there is a thing called a soul. That's the first thing. That you have to get yourself convinced first. There's a thing called a soul. It's a science. It's nothing particularly particularly different than the shastras are all saying the same thing. That it is, we have to accept it. We are thinking today the soul is an unknown entity. We don't know anything about it. Why? Because of our bad education, bad training we got. The Vedic philosophy, when it was practiced, everyone accepted this principle that the mind comes into action, intelligence comes into action, senses come into action because of the presence of the soul inside. They only accepted the reality of the soul, not the reality of the body. Reality of the body was never accepted because it's something which will drop off one day and go. It will lose its identity. But reality of the soul exists forever. So this is the most important thing. So therefore, they not only gave importance to the soul, they gave also this understanding that soul we saw before is permanent. It's not something to be acquired. It's always existing. And to come back to that state of consciousness is the most, which is self-realization. Self-realization is nothing but coming to that platform. We call it as Aham Brahmasmi. That is the step in that direction. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? So Krishna consciousness is that process by which we can get to that stage of our pure identity as the soul. Unless that happens, our effort is not succeeded. What we are working for is towards that. To come to this first understanding that I am not this body. And that is a very primary step in that direction. And the duty of the spiritual master is first, this discussion must happen with the disciple in such a way that at some point in time, the disciple has to close this understanding of close the understanding that he is the body and he is the all the other identities like the mind, intelligence, they are all come because of the presence of the soul inside the body. And this is a very important point. And so many, just like an example, so many people will prepare you for this. So many people in your life will prepare you for this. And one person at some point will light it. And after that also somebody will look after that for you. This is how the spiritual life works. So a person who has come to spiritual life, he should keep his windows open all the time. Windows open all the time. Just like, to give you an example, say there is a room, and in the middle of the room, somebody brought a lamp and kept it. A lamp means, an oil lamp. He brought it and kept an oil lamp. He kept the lamp and he went away. Another person comes and he poured some oil into the lamp and then he went away. A third person comes, he put the wick in that and then he goes away. A fourth person comes, he lights the lamp and then he goes away. Another person comes afterwards, a fifth person, he comes and he sees that there's a lot of wind coming through the windows. So he closes all the windows and makes sure that the lamp burns properly. So all these are different people. They are all spiritual masters in one way. Isn't it? Some people have prepared you for that. Some people have protected you from the lamp getting extinguished. Somebody has protected you from that. And somebody who has lighted that lamp for you in the middle of all these things, he is the Sadguru who has given you the jnanam. But you have the obligation to everyone in this. They all have helped you in your spiritual coming to this spiritual understanding. People who do not understand this Guru principle, they foolishly think, I got my Guru now, I don't care for anyone else. I am already taken care of, protected. This you can see in this 24 spiritual masters story. This is the point that is coming out. How to understand Krishna consciousness from the experience of these great personalities. This Dattatreya Maharshi is saying, although he got spiritual realization, still he is learning things from outside world. A sadhaka, or one who is in spiritual life seriously, will never close the windows. He will keep it open. He will accept it from other places. They are all spiritual masters for him at different stages. This is a very deeper understanding of the Guru principle. If you look into one of the statements Srila Prabhupada makes about this, often we don't understand it, what Prabhupada has said. So we concoct our own ideas and we start justifying it. Prabhupada wrote a letter in 1969 to Shivananda. And from America, he wrote this letter saying, well, initiation or no initiation, he says. We give all this importance to initiation. What is this initiation? Prabhupada is saying there, initiation or no initiation, first thing is knowledge. Knowledge. Initiation is formality. Just like you go to school for knowledge and admission is formality. That is not very important thing. So there itself, he has made it very clear that the 1969 he wrote this to Shivananda, saying that initiation or no initiation, that is not the purpose of all. We are happy if we are initiated, finished everything. We are now, our ticket is booked. This is what we have taken for granted, isn't it? It is not. It's not booked. What it is you've got a place in the train, but the train has to get there. You have to do the rest of it. So, this point will come in the Ekadasha Skandam, that unless the effort is put on by ourselves, and the way it has been explained here, that the process will work only if the effort is put from our side also. Just like I mentioned, that so many people will come in the life, somebody will prepare the light, somebody will put the oil, somebody will put the wick, somebody will light it and somebody will protect it from the wind and the light keep on burning. This is what is spiritual life is. The light keeps on burning. And as soon as we start shutting the windows to everything else and saying that because we feel that because I've got initiated everything is now taken care, that will be the foolish thing to think about. So in the Bhagavatam, how it is said that there will be spiritual masters before you have met their initiating guru, there will be spiritual masters after you have met your initiating guru. So, and they all will have something to offer you, some stage in life. And how this Brahmana spoke about that is, at the very end of this, his conversation with Yadu, he says like this, he uses this verse, which he says here, that, if you look at the 9th chapter, verse number 31, he says like this. What does he say? Mahe gasmal guror jnanam sustiram syal supushkalam brahmaidad adudiyam vai giyade bahudarshibhim. That's the word. Sustiram supushkalam. Very important words. He says, that knowledge what I originally received from my initiating spiritual master, Guror Jnanam, who lighted the lamp, it did not stay like that because he lighted it. No. He says, Sustiram Syal Supushkalam. It became firmly Sustiram Syal Supushkalam, that it will not get wiped out. It always stayed burning from that day on. How? Because through this Mahiyagasmal Guror Jnanam Sustiram Syal Supushkalam Brahmaidait Adudhiyam Vai Giyate Bahudarshibhim. Then so many, even if you have got some initiation from somewhere, doesn't matter. That initiation doesn't mean that you have reached the spiritual platform yet. That you have to do that. And he says here, that Guror Jnanam, what I got at that point, Sustiram Syal Supushkalam, it became firmly. Sustiram means the firmly Supushkalam, completely. I got that by accepting all these different spiritual masters. Brahmam, Brahmaidada Dadudiyam Vai Giyade Bahudarshibhi. That I have understood that Giyade Bahudarshibhi, that great sages have spoken about this and I have realized that. So you can see that through these 24 spiritual masters, one important message given here, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, that our ancestor Yadu had a conversation with Dattatreya Maharshi. Yadu was amazed by seeing that firmness or firmly established situation of Dattatreya Maharshi. Although Yadu was learned, he was finding difficult to be firmly established in the realized state. Whereas he found that Dattatreya Maharshi was always firmly established. How did he achieve that? Through this process of acquiring instructions from different sources, from the different spiritual masters. And that is how these 24 spiritual masters were spoken in the Bhagavatam. Therefore, Sustirasyal Supushkalam, that you have obligations to everybody. You have obligations to everyone. Not only to the spiritual master whom you have been initiated. You have obligations to everyone. But at the same time, that you have to also understand that it is important to observe things and to acquire that knowledge from wherever source, from whichever place it comes from. Wherever it's coming from, it should be taken. Otherwise, we will not grow spiritually. Will not grow spiritually. Nirandara Abhyasadita Badram Nivadadibam Iva. Nirandara Abhyasam, constantly working on it. Nirandara Abhyasam, Nivada Deepam. Nidanda Badram, Nivada Deepam. Nidanda Badram means fully secured. Nidanda Deepam. Just like the lamp is protected. In that way, that spiritual realization will burn inside all the time and will not fall back again into the bodily identity. This is the most important thing in the Ekadasya Skanda. So, at that point, Yadu asked Dattatreya Maharshi that I can understand that how you have reached this stage now. And nothing was disturbing him. Dattatreya Maharshi was not getting disturbed by anything. And because why? There was no desires coming in for anything. There was no desires developing inside. And always peaceful, completely peaceful. What is the secret of this? Just like the ocean, and you are sitting here so peacefully. Dharmam, artham, kamam. You are not endeavoring for any of these things. Dharma, artha, kama, moksham. These things we endeavor in this world for these things, isn't it? But Avadhuta Brahmana, he was not endeavoring for anything. How come we are able to do this? And he was not doing anything. We take for example ourselves. Can we sit 5 minutes without moving? We can't sit 5 minutes. Before that, Modi said that way, do this, do that. This is called the cheshta. Cheshta means, sharira cheshta it's called. Cheshta means, the body has to act something. Without doing, you can't sit anything. Something has to be done all the time. Either turning this side, that side. If there's nothing, nobody is there to talk, then start thinking something else. So, like this, this is the situation with most of us, isn't it? We are all in that situation. And, but, Avadhuta Brahmana's case, Yadu noticed that he was not moving anywhere, he was just lying down somewhere, and he was totally at ease with everything. Totally at ease with everything. Just like they compare like the although he was living in this material world, in the middle of all these emotions like lust, anger, greed, and kamam, krotham, moham, madam, malsaryam, all these kind of things like materialist people have. But even in the middle of that, he was least affected by any of those things. Just like the lotus leaf in the water. Lotus leaf in the water. He was situated like that, unaffected by the water. So that's why he was asking here this question. How the mind has become without any movement? How it has become so stable? This is the question Yadu has asked. Yadu has asked this question because Yadu was surprised that his mind was not moving at all. See, moment the mind moves, karma begins, isn't it? Chalanam starts. Chalanam means the movement of the mind. A simple emotion or a feeling or any kind of thoughts, what comes immediately turns into action. We are like that, isn't it? As soon as we, before we do something, immediately some thought comes in. Oh, I have to do that. Immediately I do that, isn't it? So this movement of the mind is not always controlled very much by us. But a realized soul will not have that problem. He doesn't have to do that. He is only, because he is situated on a spiritual platform, he will not come to the bodily activity so easily. He will stay away from that. That's the point he was making. So therefore he said that this state of mind in the Bhagavatam is referred to as Shanti, peaceful situation, or it's also called Samadhi state or realized state, or it is also called yogam. This is all different words. In the Bhagavatam and also in other places also you will see, different words are used to indicate the same thing. Same state of mind or same state of consciousness is expressed through different words because different people will understand different terminologies. That's all it is. Somebody will understand if you tell him Shanti, peace. If you tell him Shanti, he will understand peacefulness. Somebody will understand, he will think, Samadhi. Samadhi is a better word for him to accept it. And someone else will understand yoga, in the yoga state. So, ultimately it all means the same thing. They all have come to control, master the control on the mind, in other words. That's what it is. So, he talks about 24 spiritual masters. Brahmana is saying here, Prithvi Vayurakasham Avogni Chandraman Revi Kapodam Ajagarasindu Patanga Madhugal Gajaha Madhuha Harino Meena Pingalaha Pingala Kurera or Bhagaha Kumari Sharagil Sarpa Urna Nabhi Subeshagral. These are the 24 spiritual masters. E Deme Guru Rajam Chadurum Shadira Shridaha Shiksha Vrtimire Desham Anushikshami Halpmanaha Yedo Yedanushikshami Yetava Nahushalpmaja Tathada Purusha Vyakra Vibhoda Kathaya Amite. So, these 24 spiritual masters begins with, if you look into this list, 24, they are listed there, isn't it? The 24 spiritual masters are listed there. Prithvi, Vayu, Akasham, Apam, Agni. First five. Let's take those first five. Why? These five are the five material elements. So, first, the Tathraya did was, he picked the first five material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire. Prithvi, Vayu, Akasham, Apam, Agni. These are the five things. So, first we will look at those five spiritual masters and then we will keep moving to the other spiritual masters after that. So, out of all these spiritual masters, first spiritual master he has accepted is Prithvi. Prithvi. Why Prithvi? Prithvi means what? Earth. Mother Earth, isn't it? Mother Earth. Said, Mother Earth, I have learned something. He says, I have learned something from Mother Earth. Now, what did he learn? For the first principle he learned from Mother Earth is this. That when one comes to spiritual life, one who is serious about spiritual life, I'm not talking about those who just come to the temple for just to come on a Sunday afternoon to have a visit and go home. That's not spiritual life. Spiritual life is something more than that. Here we are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam talks about spiritual life, a lot more serious thing. It says here, Prithvi Vayur Akasham. Prithvi is the one of the important spiritual masters who has spoken here as that I have learned from Prithvi something. What did I learn? He says that normally when anyone who starts spiritual life, he has certain primary qualifications in a person, isn't it? That's where the inquiry, proper spiritual life begins from that. What are they? First thing is, I mentioned this before, Nityam Anityam Vastu Vivegam. The ability to discriminate between the permanent and the temporary thing. Material life is temporary. Material world is temporary. Spirit soul is permanent. Krishna is eternal. I am eternal. This understanding. This is the first understanding for a person who comes to spiritual life. This has to go deeply inside. Otherwise what will happen is, throughout life I will be working for achieving my material goals. Materialistic ideas. And that is not spiritual. That's materialistic. So, first discrimination in life. Material world is temporary. Material body is temporary. Material world is temporary. Material life is temporary. Everything is temporary. I am eternal. Krishna is eternal. Spiritual life is eternal. The soul is eternal. This understanding. And at the moment, I am trapped in this materialistic situation. I have to move on to the spiritual side. That is where spiritual life begins. This is called in the Shastram as Nityam Anityam Vastu Vivegam. The ability to discriminate between the temporary and the permanent. First thing. Then, in order to get this fixed up in the mind, one has to have this quality of Ihamutra Bhala Bhoga Viragam. That because you have become serious about spiritual life, the next thing to do is to become less serious about material life. Material life is not anymore serious thing. It's only there because the body is there. Once the body finishes, that's also finished. Isn't it? So because the body is there, we have to do certain things in this world. Only to that level, minimum necessary, one has to do. That's called Iha Mutra Bhala Bhoga Viragam. That no more working for sense gratification, only for maintaining the body. Iha Mutra Bhala Bhoga Viragam. Now, that is the second requirement in order to start the spiritual life. Thirdly, after this, what is called as certain qualities to be developed. What are they? Shamam, Dhamam, Titiksha, Uparadi, Shraddha, Samadhanam. There's the six stages. Shamam means control of the mind. Dhamam means control of the senses. Then Titiksha, able to tolerate anything in this world. Uparadi, able to fix into spiritual position. Shraddha, seriousness in accepting the Shastram as 100% truth. And Samadhanam, always in the situated in that spiritual consciousness. These are necessary for one who has come to spiritual life. If one hasn't caught all these things, it will just go on day after day. It's like one day it will go 1 mile up and next day it will come 2 miles down. And third day it will go a little bit further up and it will come down again. Like this it will go. But if you follow this structured way, how the Upanishads talk about this, you will see that at no point you will be interested in coming back again from this because you have become serious about it. So that seriousness is different stages. Out of this, Shamam, Dhamam, Titiksha, Uparati, Shraddha, Samadhanam, the six things, they are called Shal Sambhati, the six qualities of a person who is in spiritual life. And above all, of all these things is the Mumukshatva. Mumukshatva means the desire for liberation. The desire for liberation. Desire for liberation. How to free yourself from the material existence. A very, very strong desire inside. Unless that is there, it will not happen. Because that is what is the engine behind everything. The engine which is driving your spiritual life. Mumukshatva. So, Krishna is saying here that the Prithvi, this Dattatrayavamsi is saying to King Yadu, I learned one important thing here from Mother Earth. What was that? Titiksha. Out of the six things I mentioned, Shamam, Damam, Titiksha, Uparadi, Shraddha, Samadhanam, the six things, I learned Titiksha from Mother Earth. Titiksha from Mother Earth. What does Titiksha means? Titiksha means, Krishna also talks about this in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Titiksha, we spoke about it. But anyway, we'll repeat that again. Titiksha means the ability to tolerate everything in this world without any revengeful mood. In other words, sahanam sarva dukhanam. Whatever distress comes in life, able to tolerate that. How? Apradigara purvakam. No mood to take revenge on that person. And not only that, what else? Chinda vilaparahitam. You won't lament about it later. Constantly, oh, I should have done that to him. I should have done that to her. You know, I should have never let him go like that. You know, what do you feel? That revenge keep on coming back in the mind? This is how it is defined. Sahanam sarvadukhanam apradigara purvagam chinda vilabarahidam. Without any, if you don't like somebody or if you feel it is difficult to work with that person in some way, keep away, stay out. At least that much you can do. You don't have to constantly fight with that person. That's not necessary. Because he is convinced in his way 100% and you are convinced 100% in your way. Both cannot agree. So what to do? You have to leave some point, isn't it? So you have to leave that person to him and you have to carry on with your spiritual life. You may not agree with that person, everything what he does in spiritual life. But you don't have to accept that. At the same time, you have to carry on with your conviction in spiritual life. What's right and what's wrong. So, Titiksha is a quality what is necessary there. Sahanam sarva dukhanam. Although it is sometimes very, very painful. Because sometimes you find you are so convinced that some things are going wrong. But you are unable to do anything about it. But still, you have to carry on with spiritual life. Why? Sapradigara purvagam. That will come to that. Why it is like that? Chinda vilavarahidam. And no lamentation about it. Because you are convinced in your own mind you are doing the right thing. This is the right way to go. Shastra is saying this. Acharyas are saying that. All the great devotees in the past, they have vouched for that. Why you should deviate? Why should we not stick to it? Why do we have to deviate to somebody else's instructions? It's not necessary. So here, this quality, he says, I learned from Prithvi, from Mother Earth. Learned from Mother Earth. So it is not easy thing, this Diksha to come. It is easy to explain this, but it's not easy to develop it, isn't it? Just so happened once that somebody was sitting for meditation and he was getting this established in his mind, I'm not this body. He was fixing that on that understanding in his mind. So suddenly a mosquito comes and bites the body. So when the mosquito comes, he got a doubt, should I kill the mosquito or should I execute Titiksha here? Should I have Titiksha or not? This question comes. So he went and asked somebody else who had a deeper understanding of these things. So when he asked him, what should I have done? Should I have, you know, normally our tendency is if a mosquito bites us immediately, goes there. Isn't it? We don't think too much about it. He is killing me, so I'll kill him. So that's the reaction, immediate reaction. Because all the 24 hours you are not covered with repellent and the net and all that. When you walk around, mosquitoes will bite. And mosquito comes and does that. So immediately you react like this. But here the question comes, what should you do? So when he went to Yani and asked this question, Yani told him, look, what were you meditating on? He says, I was meditating on this understanding that I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this senses, I'm not this intelligence. So he said, what is the mosquito doing to you? He's also teaching you the same thing. You're not this body. You're not the mind. You're not the senses. Why don't you accept it like that? He said. That time he got the point. The point is this. that to such a degree, you have to be tolerant to this world. To such a degree. That so many people will give you so much trouble in this world when you take your spiritual life. And if you are not tolerant, you will not make any progress in spiritual life. This is one of the important qualities, and that he says, the Dattatreya Maharshi says, I learned this from Mother Earth. From Mother Earth. That in the Mother, the modern society, unfortunately, does not understand these things. They don't understand these things. They are thinking that in ancient times, even digging the well, they did not do it because they were so concerned about the Mother Earth. When our ancestors, when they got up in the morning, first they will touch their hand on the ground and put it on their head. Padasparsham Kshamasva. They will offer their apologies to Mother Earth before they put their feet on the ground. This was the Vedic understanding. Today, if you look at it, what all we do to Earth doesn't require much explanation, does it? People are so foolish in the sense. In Switzerland, they have dug a tunnel now to 20 kilometer or 30 kilometer. They are trying to find out the truth, I believe. God particle, they call it. God particle, I believe. Like electron, proton, neutron, Godtron. Whatever that tone is. This head working behind this is, it's not possible to understand the mind behind it. The Japanese are saying they want to drill through this earth thousands of kilometers. They are developing some machinery to develop some understanding of the creation. They are doing this. It is so thick-headed these people are that they just cannot understand that behind all these things, this Mother Earth is one planet in this creation. By digging this, what do they call that? They gave a name for that also. CERN, isn't it? In Switzerland, they are doing billions. How many billions they have spent on that? To find the truth, I believe. They are trying to get the absolute truth through this process. This is the world we are in today. We have to accept all these things. And they collect the money from the taxpayers so that they can run this experiment of 20-30 kilometers of tunneling with so much machinery and mechanism. And Mother Earth is tolerating that also. This is the beauty of that. Mother Earth says, tolerate that. This will go on for some time. One day, when she gets angry, she gives one tsunami, your CERN gone, Godtron gone, everything gone with that. Isn't it? All the so-called experiment is finished there. These fools cannot think that she is tolerating this. Yeah. My nonsense, what I am doing, she is tolerating this. But they cannot imagine that they are still thinking this is called false ego. The false ego is so high in their heads. Our sages, without creating all these CERN and Godtron and God particle and anything, they were able to reach the truth much closer than all these scientists which they are struggling for so many years. This is their so-called intelligence. So-called intelligence. So you can see there that the two examples, there's two words which are used for describing this Mother Earth. In Shastram it's called Kshiti and Kshama. Kshama means the ability to tolerate everything. Everything she tolerates. People are drilling, people are throwing all kinds of garbage on her body. People do everything to her. And there's nothing what we don't do. For oil's sake, we'll go drilling everywhere in the sea, ocean, everywhere we're drilling. In the forests, in the desert, because we need the oil from her. We are extracting everything from her, and we want to find the truth also from her by drilling her. So this is going on, but Shastram is saying that our Dattatreya Maharshi is saying the one thing I have learned, if I want to advance spiritually, I have to be like Mother Earth. I have to be like Mother Earth. Kshamaya Dharitri. Just like Dharitri, there is her Kshama, her tolerance is necessary in spiritual life. Otherwise it's not possible to. And so he says Prithivi Vayurakasham. If you want to understand this, that Mother Earth, she would not, may not react straight away. A small, slight movement from her side is sufficient for many, many civilizations to go in one lot, isn't it? I mean, you have seen this tsunami. It's a recent one. Tsunami it is. It's happened and it was enough. And similarly, how many times this has happened? Earthquake in Turkey, earthquake in Iran, earthquake in India, earthquake in South America. So many things she is showing to us, but we don't notice any of that. We think our research will help. What research can do? Research won't help. So, in the Ramayanam, if you look at Ramayanam, you will see these things explained much nicely in the Ramayanam. Ramayanam, Ramachandra talks to Lakshmana about this. Ramachandra talks to Lakshmana about this. It's a very important part of the Ramayanam that when Ramachandra was to be coronated that day, that night, you know, in the story is known to you, Kaikeyi said to Ramachandra that you should go to the forest 14 years, isn't it? 14 years you should go to the forest. This was the request from Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi insisted that. Now, how did Ramachandra respond to that? If you look into Ramayanam, you will find that. When Ramachandra, in the Valmiki praises Ramachandra's that mind, personality. He says, when Kaikeyi said this to Ramachandra, Ramachandra says, that's no problem. I'm ready to go, he says. So, then, in the same night, King Dasharatha was feeling very disturbed over this, isn't it? So he says to Ramachandra that Kaikeyi is insisted like this, that you have to go to the forest and I can't bear that. Ramachandra says, that's not a problem. Ramachandra's response to every personality at this stage, if you look, you will see that he had no interest in any of these things. On the other hand, what did he do? He says there that before he went to the forest and accepted this, he went with his mind to the forest. That's what he did. See how intelligent Ramachandra was. Ramachandra is saying there that before he went to the forest and answered this question to Kaikeyi, what he did was he used his mind to go to the forest. And then he realized one important point at that time, that if I go to the forest now, I'll get the opportunity to meet great sages there. Bharadwaja Maharshi, Agastya Maharshi, and so many other Vasishtha, and so many others, he had an opportunity to, Gaudama Maharshi, so many others, he had an opportunity to discuss with them about the absolute truth in the forest. So in his mind, he was thanking Kaikeyi for doing this to him. Can you imagine that? The king of Ayodhya, the role of king of Ayodhya, anyone wanted that position. So later on, Kausalya Devi, Mother Kausalya, was talking to Ramachandra about this, about going to the forest. And at that point, Ramachandra says to Kausalya Devi like this, you do not know how much Kaikeyi loves me. Look at this way, how she has given me what I wanted. Yeah, she says, running this kingdom, maintaining the society, all these things, it's all a big headache. And he gave all these headaches to her son, Bharata. And she gives me this opportunity to go to forest and live a life what I want to live. This is Tidiksha. That able to see anything that comes in favor of spiritual life. In favor of spiritual life. Not attracted by the opulence of Ayodhya or the position of the king. Nothing. Nothing is important. Because higher than all these things is the discussions with Gautama, Bharadwaj, Vasishtha and Agastya and all those great sages. Ramachandra considers that as more important. This is how one should be. This is how one should be. That's the important lesson to learn. From the Ramayanam, this story is spoken. That Kaikeyi was always pushing for it. Ramachandra was more than happy to go. More than happy to go. That this opportunity I will not get otherwise. Kaikeyi has given me 14 good long years to spend in the forest where I could talk about the spiritual life, spiritual truth. And that is how he discussed it then. So, the person, can you imagine that Kaikeyi, Ramachandra never felt a least uneasiness with the words from Kaikeyi. That's what we said there before, that Chinda Vilabarahidam. That even when such a thought comes, you should not allow that thought to build up inside. Even if that person has done something harmful to you, or if you feel it is a harmful thing, even then it should not be allowed to happen. Because if that happens, then it will have its mind will move straight away. Chalanam will begin at that point. So, sahanam sarva dukkhanam. It may appear as dukkham, but Ramachandra turned into a sukham from that point. Happiness. It has, apparently it looked like a distress. Everyone says, oh, Ramachandra is going to forest. Ramachandra has to suffer. Sita Devi is going to the forest. What kind of personality is Kaikeyi? But Ramachandra was taking it in a different way. He is saying, sahanam sarva dukkhanam. Not able to tolerate. These are nothing, he says. Apradigara purvagam. No revenge either towards Kaikeyi. On the other hand, Ramachandra is paying obeisances to Kaikeyi. Apradigara purvagam. Chinda vilavarahidam. Does not give an opportunity to think about once again. Sa tidiksha. That is called tidiksha. That tolerance in Ramachandra. Similarly, what happens in after the war? If you look in Ramayanam, there's so many things to understand from Ramayanam. Ramayanam is just not studying the story. Story is there, but through the story, Valmiki, Vedavyas and all are telling so many things. It is all to pull us towards spiritual life, seriously, and to develop those qualities, what is necessary for spiritual life. When they went to the forest, after the war was over, Ravana was killed, wasn't it? Ravana was killed, and Ramachandra asked Vibhishana, his brother, who was with Ramachandra, you perform the Shraddha ceremony for Ravana now. Ramachandra is saying to Vibhishana, Ravana got killed after the war, and Ramachandra is saying to Vibhishana, you perform the Shraddha ceremony for Ravana. Vibhishana says, no, I don't want to perform the Shraddha ceremony for him. He says, if you won't perform it, I will perform it, he says. I will perform it. This is how Ramachandra was. This enmity towards Ravana is finished with the death. After that, there is no more enmity. Whereas, what do? We inject this to our children and then to grandchildren, and few generations, this fight will go on between two families, life after life. This is how it is. But tidiksha is such a quality, that is why so many, fighting in so many places, like you can see in conflicts in different places. What do they call it? The religious conflicts, they call it, isn't it? They're related to different religion. How does it keep on going year after year? One generation would have died and gone. The second generation takes on from then on. And then they continue for their lifetime. And they pass it on to the third generation, then they go. So like this, generation after generation, this animosity keeps builds up. Why? There is no tidiksha. Ramachandra is through this example saying to us, Ravana is killed, fine. Now he's dead and gone. Enmity is also finished there. Although Ravana stole Sita Devi from him, from Ramachandra, this revengeful thought, he would not allow that to develop inside. Ramachandra is example to us, to show us that. So, chinda vilabarahidam sa tidiksha, apratigara purvagam. So, there also in Ramayanam you will see Ramachandra's tidiksha in all these things. as soon as if you allow these thoughts to build up inside, this inimical thought or revengeful thought inside, what will happen is your mind will start moving. Mind will shake. And once you allow this to happen many times, no matter how many rounds of Hare Krishna you are chanting, simultaneously this will also carry on with it. So this is why these qualities are important. Tidiksha is an important quality there. That one of the most important qualities in spiritual life is this Tidiksha. Tidiksha's importance is stressed so much in spiritual life. That even if your spiritual activities, even if there is so much provocation from the other side, not to allow that to disturb the mind and to carry on with your spiritual activities. There was this finest example given, Ekanath Swami. I mentioned this before, I think. Ekanath in Maharashtra, he was a great saint. And because of his saintly qualities, he had this greatest Tidiksha in him. But somehow or the other, the people around were not that good. They wanted to abuse him and to insult him and offend him. So Ekanath used to go to bathe in Godavari River every day and come back. So one person, deliberately feeling envious or whatever it was, he used to chew this betel nut and betel leaf, and when Ekanath comes back, he will spit on him. This chewed betel leaf and betel nut. As soon as he spits on him, Ekanath will go back to Godavari River and bathe again. When he comes back, this person again will spit on him. This happened 21 times in one instance. It happened 21 times. Eventually, last time when Ekanath was coming back, this person felt that purity of Ekanath affected him so much that he paid his obeisances to him and apologized to him for what he has done. Ekanath did not show even the slightest reaction to that. He immediately patted him and told him, "Don't worry about it, leave it like that," he said. Why did he do that? He says to him, that you have spat on me so many times, I could wash it by going to Godavari River. It was not a problem. But suppose if I had reacted to you even one time in my mind, in the opposite way, that was enough, I have fallen from spiritual life. This is Ekanath's realization. Imagine that heart of that personality. That how much he was conscious that I have to tolerate everything. I am in this material world. All these things will come to me due to prarabdham. Actually, what we have to remember is this, that when somebody is insulting, offending or treating us in an unpleasant way as we feel, it's only my own prarabdham is coming through that person. Our own prarabdham is coming through that person. And it is my own activities in the past. That person is only a instrument or a tool for that prarabdham to come back to me. If you see it like that, you will see Krishna's hand in that and you will not feel that strong reaction to that as the way normally we react to that. Then Prithivi Vayurakasham Apognis Chandramaravi Kapodam Ajagara Sindhu Patango Madhagaral Gajaham. That our prarabdham, normally say for example, generally we react very strongly, isn't it? As soon as there is an offense or insult or physical abuse, immediately we react to that. Say someone beat you up or someone shot at you. We will say, "Oh, we should take him to the court and make sure that he is punished properly." You will see this all the time in the newspaper, isn't it? When someone is shot, then the parents or the relatives wants to make sure that the culprit is caught and punished properly. Want to get through the whole process, isn't it? So, if you look at it this way, that the punishment that's been meted out to that person, if you think that the prarabdham has caused that, if you do not see what has actually caused that problem, you are thinking that person is responsible, isn't it? That person is responsible for this. Therefore, you want to react. Suppose a thing like tsunami happens, whom would you take to the court then? There also they are doing the same thing. Somebody is doing it to you, isn't it? All your house is gone, the property is gone, wealth is gone, everything is gone. Or an earthquake comes. Whom will you take to the court? Who will you take to the court? You can't take anybody to the court, can you? to tell you the story. One person was riding a boat in a lake. And there was another boat, and this boat was left free. Somehow it so happened this boat struck the other one, and this boat collapsed, and he fell out of to the water. What will you do? Can you take the other boat to the court? There was nobody in that boat. It was there. So similarly, you can see that so many instances in this world, provocations come. But you only react when it is concerned with a person. Yes. Only when it is concerned with a person, you are reacting to it. When you can't react to a situation, you don't react, do you? You accept it, I'll go to the insurance company and claim from there. That's some other alternative you look for. But Tidiksha is such a quality that we have to see things as they are. If you know this, that only when a personality is involved, you push very far. That you want to make sure that the person is punished and kicked or whatever, put down as much as you can. But instead of that, when you come to spiritual life, we cannot think like that. That attitude is not healthy. In spiritual life, it has happened. So many things have happened in life. This is also one of my prarabdhams to come like this, and let me allow that to happen and not take that more seriously than that. That sometimes it happens that it can see some people get affected when you are insulted or when you are glorified, in both times. But here we learn from Prithvi, he says, in either of the situations, I should not get affected by that. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there, Shishubala and Krishna, if you look at that example, Shishubala was continuously talking ill of Krishna, isn't it? 100 times he spoke. It's only the 101st time that Shishubala got back to the spiritual world. So every time Shishubala spoke, Krishna smiled. Why? Because this example of Krishna is for us to tell us that this will not matter because you are on a spiritual platform. All these insults, offenses are all related to the body, first thing. Secondly, Krishna is seeing that the ignorance in Shishubala. Shishubala's ignorance is coming out. And Krishna was transcendental to everything. He would not speak one word against it. And eventually, Shishubala also went back to the spiritual world. So this retaliation is not a good thing. Then, when there's retaliation happens, who is actually retaliating? If you have thought about that, you will know it. Who is retaliating? Retaliation is nothing but coming from the false ego inside, isn't it? It's our own false ego that is making this retaliation. So if one can avoid this retaliation, it means the false ego is coming under control. Otherwise, it's going to cause a lot of problem. Then, Prithvi Vayurakasham Abognishchandraman Revi Kapodamachagara Sindhu Patangamadhural Gajaham Madhuha Harino Tina Pingalokurera Arbhaga Kumari Sharaval Sarpam Urnanavi Subeshagral. Now here, if you read the verse 37 in this chapter 7, that is where the quality of the earth is discussed and what we have to learn from that. What does it say? Bhūdairākramyamānobhi dhīro daivavashānugaihi tadidvāna chaleen morgam anyashiksham kshiter vratam. Very important verse. He says, Bhūdairākramyamānobhi. Even if you are attacked by other living entities, dhīro daivavashānugai. One who is dhīra, one who is sober in his mind, and one who has the higher understanding, he will think, deva vashanugai, it has happened according to the law of karma. Prarabdham has brought this to me in this way. And when such a thing happens, any instances where when you get offended or insulted, that is the right time to test your understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam.
If at that time, if you are still able to react to that situation without getting affected by that, that means you are understanding Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, simply studying Bhagavatam and going and fighting with anyone and everyone at all times is not a good thing. Deva Vashanyugai, it says here, Bhudai Akramyamanobi Dhiro Deva Vashanyugai. Deva Vashanyugai. Why? Tad Vidwan Na Chalen Margam Anyushiksham Chiter Vratam. That a person, Tad Vidwan Na Chalen Margam, he will not deviate from his path because others have insulted him or offended him. Anyushikshel Chiter Vratam. Just like Mother Earth has taken this vow not to react, I will also take the same thing in the same way, not to react to these situations. That means the heart of a person who is in spiritual life has to be very broad. He has to think in a much higher level. He should not react to each and every situation. Even though you may have to, you may be subjected to a lot of different nonsense in this world from different living entities, even in spiritual life, you just have to know how to avoid them, how to not to get affected by that. Because the spiritual life in the modern world can be very difficult. It was not like in the past, on an individually based, it's very much on an institutional base now. So when it comes to institutional levels, many instances you will experience a lot of this kind of problems coming. Different people trying to dictate and control your spiritual activities. But if you are fixed in your path, it says here, Tad vidyam, tad vidvan, nachalein margam. You will not move from your understanding of spiritual life, then nobody can do anything about it. It will not disturb you because you have the support of the Shastram. And Shastram is telling you, you don't need any other justification from anyone else. Bhudaira akramyama no bi dhiro deva vashanugai dhiro deva vashanugai. Then attad vidvana chale margam anyushiksham kshideer vradam. That if you tolerate it through tridiksha, little by little, then it is better to control the mind. Then one person may not, nobody will agree with you in many times. Everyone has their own opinions and ideas. So instead of allowing the peace to get disturbed, it is better to tolerate things and be fixed in the spiritual path. That's what's mentioned in that verse. Bhudai akramyamanobi dhiro deva vashanugai tad vidvanna chalen margam anyushiksham kshideer vratam. Then the yogi says there, what the yogi has to learn, that from other earth, I have learned so many other things also. Our Dattatreya Maharshi says there to Yadu, that in this earth, people dig the earth. They sometimes make big holes on the earth. And on this earth also supports big mountains, big trees, and so many other things. And Mother Earth keeps a lot of wealth underneath her. Said, I've learned from this, the Dattatreya Maharshi says there, just like Mother Earth, these trees also, they give a lot of fruits, or fruit-bearing trees. Sometimes they give their own body for use for other living entities. Isn't it? Big trees, you cut them and you use them for furniture or woodwork or so many other things, you use them. And I learned from these trees, because they grow on this Mother Earth, that they have also developed this understanding that I have to become like them, like these trees. My body, my life is meant for others. In other words, I should not be taking from this earth anything. On the other hand, I should be giving it to the earth. This is the principle. Instead of taking anything from this, I learn from the trees that I have to give it to this world. Trees don't ask us anything, do they? They keep simply giving us. Many trees, they give everything. Say, for example, coconut trees, banana trees and all. If you look at every part of the body, tree's body is utilized. Apple trees, and similarly, big, huge trees. Everything is useful in some way or the other. And they do not demand anything from us. So, I learned this from the mountain. Mountains maintain a lot of minerals, and lot of wealth in them. And we go and dig and take them out from there, they don't protest. They allow you to take all these things from there. They don't protest everything about that. Then, so I learned from this that my consciousness should be such. My consciousness should be such. Just like the mountain, I should be firm in my spiritual position. I should not get disturbed over all these things. Let people do whatever they want in this world. Let them carry on with this. It should not disturb me. If I am living in this world, I should be of use to others. Not that I extract from them what I want to for my sense gratification. These are lessons for a spiritually advancing person. It's not for anybody else. If we think, because these 24 spiritual masters, we have a lot of hurdles to cross before we come to self-realization. It's not that I chanted 16 rounds and I'm realized right away and I'm going back home back to Godhead. These are things in the Bhagavadam to tell us that along with simultaneously with the upasana or the sadhana bhakti what we practice, these are things which also has to come to a person in order to get properly spiritually situated. Otherwise it will simply become a ritual. So, this body is not mine. This is the understanding of the yogi or the Tatraya Maharshi. Maharshi's understanding is, this body is not mine. The body belongs to material nature. I belong to Krishna. See the difference? The body belongs to material nature. I, the soul, belong to Krishna. So, we do not think like that. What do we think? We think we belong to material nature. That's why, but for a, the Tatraya Maharshi is saying there, I am so clear on this point, at no point I will allow my mind to think that we are part of the material nature. So that's the first thing he has done. That, so leave what belongs to material nature, leave it to the material nature. What belongs to Krishna, give it to Krishna. This is the deeper understanding. That, 39, it says there, Shashwal Patartha Sarvan Sarveha Parartega Parartheganda Sambhava Sadhu Shukshedha Bhu Bratto Nagashishya Paralmadam. Then, Shashwal Parartha Sarveha, that for the benefit of others, he will always conduct these activities. That I am born here for others' sake. Because this body is not mine. We have mentioned this many times before. I am not this body. This body is not mine. This body is not meant for my enjoyment. These things have to get very firmly established inside. Otherwise, without any of this understanding, if you simply think that, oh, I am practicing spiritual life, I have Mangalarati I went to, I chanted all my rounds, now today's job is over, and day after day, if you keep on doing this, it will not help, because you will see that after 20, 30 years, you will still feel the same spiritual difficulties. But these are things which are the basic qualities, what spiritually advancing person should constantly reflect on. He says here, Shashwal Paramartha Sarveha, always living for others. What does it mean? Does it mean that you have to go and do social service all the time? No, that's not what it means. Social service is not what it means. Then, just accept it this much inside. Material body is not mine. It belongs to the material nature. And that whatever I'm doing, it will turn out to be auspicious if you live in Krishna consciousness. The mentality to exploit others will go from inside. And be satisfied with what has come by prarabdham, what has come by providence, that to accept that. This is all what is required. Not that you have to go and do to save the whole world. That's not said here. He says, Tasmai Shashwal Parartha Sarveha Parathegandha Sambhava. You should not act on a bodily level to save others. That is no good. Because all you are doing is you are injecting your bodily concept of life to other person also. That's not knowledge. Real knowledge is acting on a spiritual platform and taking another person, bringing into the spiritual understanding of life, where you are not accepting the comforts of the body as the important thing. Parārthegānda sambhava sādhu-śikṣeṇa bhūbhṛto nagaśiṣya parālmadam. Sādhu-śikṣeṇa bhūbhṛto nagaśiṣya parālmadam. I learned from the mountains nagashishya. I am a disciple of the tree, he says, paralmadham, that this body is paradhinam. Paradhinam means this body is not in my control. It is in the control of so many people. If you look at it carefully, you will notice it. That you may think it is my body, but actually this body is under the control of so many people, isn't it? Say for example, if you are a husband or a father, the wife, the children, they all have a stake in that body, isn't it? You have responsibility to fulfill their needs, activities like that. So in other words, they have a stake, you are controlled by that. Paradhinam, paradhinatvam it is called, you are controlled by that. If you are a wife, equally, there is so many responsibilities from wife's side to the husband, to the children. Again, the body is paradhinam. Gam dugdha doham asadinja varyam. Krishna says this later on in Ekadasha Skandam. Deham paradhinam asal prajamja. Deham paradhinam. This material body is not independent. When you work for somebody, you are under the control of the employer. You have to report for duty on time. You have certain obligations towards the employer. If you live in a country, in a state, you have obligations towards the community, obligations towards the county administration, the central government, and so on and so forth. So many places, you are controlled everywhere. You may think, why we have to worry about all these things, isn't it? Only when you cross all these limitations, you can come to the spiritual level of understanding life. At the moment, we are thinking, I am the citizen of this country, I am the controller, I am thinking, but strictly speaking, the police controls me, the government controls me, the society controls me, the friends controls you, the family controls you, everyone has a stake in your body. This is the situation. So, unless, he is saying here, the Tathagata Maharshi is saying here, see how much he has separated himself from the body. He is identifying so much with the soul. He is saying this body will be like the mountains and the trees. They will stay in this, it will stay in this world as long as that prarabdham is there, and that body will execute its commitments to all these different entities. This is spiritual realization. It's a very important thing. Prithvi is teaching us these things. See how deep introspection he had. How deep, extremely subtle level he is thinking. We cannot think in such subtle level, can we? What do we think? We think in the grossest level. How do you think? We print our name, visiting card, I live in this address, and I am from this county, I live in this village, I live, this is my telephone number. I am keep on banging on these things. The Tathagata Maharshi is breaking all these things one after the other. I have nothing to do with any of these things. That's his attitude. He is saying, all they can claim is on my body, isn't it? Whether the police or the government or the family or the friends or the society or the community, whatever it is. They have some claim on my body, but not on me. This is the point. Not on me. They have some claim on my body. So let the body keep on doing what it has to do to fulfill all that claims. I have nothing to do with it. That is this clear demarcation of the soul and the body. Understanding is necessary in spiritual life. Because otherwise what will happen is every little thing, if we keep on identifying with the body, we keep on working on the bodily platform, and we are still thinking we are making progress in spiritual life, we may be mistaken. We won't make the progress. That's why Prabhupada wrote that letter. Initiation? No initiation. It's not important. What is important is this knowledge of Bhagavadam. Bhagavadam is stressing this point. And if this is not going to the head, He says initiation is a formality, he said. Unfortunately, throughout our society, what's happening is initiation becomes the goal and the ways and means and everything at the end. And that's it, finished. After that, no one bothers what's going on. But that is not spiritual life. That's why I was reading that letter when Prabhupada wrote to Shivananda in 69. He said this, that initiation or no initiation, that is not important. He said, take the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam and understand the spiritual life. So many times he repeated this. He said that you are so dull-headed, you are not capturing the point, what the sages had to say to us. He was repeating this again and again, but we will still go after the formalities, recognition in this world. I am such a disciple of such a person, and therefore I am this, I am that, and so many positions, president, secretary, GB, whatever things we have in this world, we think all that is important. What has it got to do with spiritual life? It's only there to do some work, that's all, nothing more than that. Spirituality has nothing to do with all these things. This is the point. The Tathagata Maharshi, so intelligent and clever, he's seeing everything from an extremely subtle level. On the subtle level, all these things don't exist at all. Whether this or that. And people, when you see, sometimes you have to laugh. Sometimes people, they think, my spiritual life is dependent on whom I make contact with in spiritual life. If I have the right contact at the right place, I'll make the right progress. It doesn't work like that. So many foolish understanding, because all this is coming from the material life. In material life, you have been practicing this for many lifetimes. When you get a job in the office, you make sure who is strong and who is weak. You stay with the strong, or who can pull you up in the position. This kind of mentality builds up, and when you join a religious institution also, you transfer that into religious life. And then what happens? Apparently you appear as though you are making advancement, but inside it's empty. Nothing has happened. Spiritual life has to be based on the words of the great sages. When the Tathagata Maharshi is saying this, that what did he say in this verse? You can see that Shashwal Pararta Sarvesham Sarveha Parartaivanda Sambhavaham Sadhu Shiksheda Bhubhrato Nagashishya Paralpadam. That I have learned this from the trees as well as the mountains, he says. As well as from the mountains I have learned this. And if we don't learn these things, then we will continue doing what we have done in our past. that mountains, they don't, even they are more advanced than us spiritually, because they are able to do that. That they are not claiming anything back from us. On the other hand, they'll think that this the body they have is for others' benefit, let them use it and forget about it. Then and that for I have learned that he says here. Then so then this is the first lesson he has learned from the Mother Earth. So what all has he learned from Mother Earth? He has learned from Mother Earth that I have to be tolerant in spiritual life. Nothing in this world should come on my way in advancing in the spiritual life, so I'll practice Tidiksha. Tidiksha is not a weakness, it's actually a strength. Why? Because you are seeing Tidiksha from a higher level. How? By practicing Tidiksha, you're not allowing your mind to move. Chalanam won't happen. Mind will become stable. And only when the mind is stable, you can execute spiritual life properly. Otherwise, if the mind is always disturbed, where is the question of practicing spiritual life? Sometimes when you see people, some of the things what they do, it is so much hypocrisy. One person, he will do puja, he will chant these rounds, then 9:30 he puts on his television, watches the television, the share market he is watching, and he is chanting the round, watching the share prices. Is there any more bigger hypocrisy than this? Imagine that. This is the type of spiritual life people are practicing sometimes. Then he's chanting and he's watching the share prices. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The Lehman Brothers is dropping. Price is dropping. What is this? These are the people in this world. These are the people whom you should not follow. The Tathagata Maharshi tells us, these are the warning he is giving us, that if you get captivated by this kind of spiritual life, this type of people who are practicing spiritual life, and he has put nice tilakon and nice shikha, wearing nice dhoti, everything. If you look at him, first class devotee. He has done his puja in the morning. And then later on, his mind is completely thinking, pondering over the share prices. So he's got a beast bag also in the hand, added to all this. So what's the use of this? Pranavrutteiva sandusheya munirnaivendriya priyai jnanam yatha mama sheda navagiriyeda vangmanam. Then that whatever happens, if you allow the body belongs to this material nature, if you establish this principle in mind strongly, body is not mine, I am not this body, body is not mine, body belongs to material nature. What are the material? Body means what? Mind, apart from the gross elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire. They come from the earth. They'll go back to the earth or to the different material elements where it came from in its subtle level. So first that conviction inside that it is not my body. It is body came from the material nature. It will go back to material nature. Number one. Number two, I'm not this body. That firm conviction inside that I am soul. I am soul, part and parcel of Krishna. Soul belongs to Krishna. Body belongs to material world. Body belongs to material world. Soul belongs to Krishna. This understanding has to be firm inside. Otherwise, constantly on a bodily platform, if we cultivate spiritual life, it will not make progress. This is the most important point. So I learned from Mother Earth, whatever happens in this world, I will execute tidiksha, sahanam sarva dukhanam. I will tolerate everything in this world. Apradigara purvakam, without any revengeful thoughts inside. Apradigara purvakam, chinda virabharahidam. If things go wrong or right, doesn't matter. I will not lament over it. Sa tidiksha, that is tidiksha. And if tidiksha is there, then you can get over a lot of these problems in this world, from which will actually disturb your mind. It is not that your reaction is, what is actually causing is, you may react to somebody and that person may get hurt or he may get more excited, agitated over this and he will react in a stronger way. In such situations, what's actually happening to you in your spiritual life is, your mind is getting agitated. And that means karmam begins from that point onwards. We have seen before that karmam is actually only binding you. Even a slightest movement of the mind creates a vasana inside. And if you allow the mind to get agitated over everything, anything and everything, that will deliberately, it is disturbing your spiritual life. Spiritual progress is disturbed there. So that's why it is said like this, that if you cannot deal with a person or by any reason finds that difficult to work with, you should separate from that personality. Because for your spiritual life, you have to do it. There is nothing wrong in that. You may say, okay, for the worldly people will say, oh, you should not act, you may, normally what people does is, they will become diplomatic at that time. Isn't it? They'll speak nicely and then behind they'll say something else. That he'll complain about him and then externally he will try to be friendly and all that. But that's not necessary. If it comes to spirituality, when you find that it is difficult to work with somebody, you have to separate at that point. Because spiritual life is a very personal thing. You don't require all these millions of people with you all the time to go back to Godhead. You have to go on your own. This is where it is important. In Vedic philosophy, this is the most important thing. That you are on your own, you have to fly. Satsuru Maharaj, a letter was given to him by Prabhupada, when Satsuru asked this question to him, that we are experiencing so many difficulties in spiritual life. Prabhupada said, yes. You also say that our relationship is permanent between the spiritual master and the disciple. So if a disciple falls off, what happens? Prabhupada said, he falls, goes. Why? Because even though you have been brought into spiritual path by somebody, your individual responsibility, which means you have to fly on your own. You can't put the weight on others to do it for you. Because I am in a group with others, I'll be going, they will take me along with them. It doesn't work like that. You have to fly on your own. You have to do the flying on your own. Prabhupada said, if you are flying on your own and keep company with us, then you are with us. The relationship is permanent. But the moment you decide to drop away, and you fly on your own, and you follow from this, then you are lost. The relationship is also finished there. It's not going further than that. So, we have taken so many things from this. We say that I'm not interested in Krishna consciousness. Let Prabhupada come and take another birth and take me back to the spiritual world. This kind of ideas are springing up in people's mind. It won't work like that. So long as our commitment to the spiritual master and to Krishna, especially to Srimad Bhagavatam, if that commitment is not there, you can imagine, when Krishna left this world, what did he say? I will enter into Srimad Bhagavatam. He didn't even say, I will enter into the temple, into the deity. He didn't say that. You can worship me there, he said. But that depends on your intensity of worship and the purity of standard of worship and so many things. But Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says, I will enter into that. So, where is Krishna? Krishna is in the Bhagavatam. You may not find Krishna elsewhere, but Krishna, you can find him in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is where he entered into. He says to Uddhava this in Padmapuranam, you can read that. At the time of, while departing from this world, Krishna enters into Srimad Bhagavatam. So, important thing to remember here is that from Mother Earth I have learned this lesson that my personal interest is important. Therefore, I will not allow my mind to get disturbed. Therefore, I will practice Tidiksha under all circumstances. I learned from this from Mother Earth. I also learned Mother Earth, in spite of so much provocations from different people, she does not react. Similarly, as a Dattatreya Maharshi says, as a sannyasi or as an avadhuta, I also decided not to react to any situation. I learned this from Mother Earth. Then he said, the trees and the mountains, even they are also in this Mother Earth. They also practice exactly the same thing. The trees live for the good of others. They provide everything to everybody, whatever they have got. Eventually you cut them and kill them and use them. They don't protest against it. They don't even protest against that. To such an extent, the trees are more realized than us. They are able to give their body to us and there they go. Same thing, the mountains. They also give all the minerals and all the other wealth that they have stored inside. They tell us, you can take as much as oil or whatever you want to take it from them, you can take it and leave them there. They don't protest against that. Desert, so many places, isn't it? So, here, coming back to this, he says here, Shashwal Pararta Sarveha Parartheganda Sambhavaha Sadhu Shichedabu Bhrato Nagashishya Paralpadam. Then, Pranavrutteva Sandushyer Munirnaivendriya Priyehi Jnanam Yatha Namasheda Navagiryedavam Manaham. Then, this is another, the next spiritual master. So, having learned this from Mother Earth, now he takes the next one. Who? Vayu. Vayu is Mother. Vayu is the next spiritual master. Earth, water, air, ether and fire, the five material elements. First, I learned from Mother Earth these things. Now, let's see what he has learned from Vayu, from that. Pranovrtteva sandushyer munirnevendriya priyaihi jnanam yathana sheda navagiryeda vangmanaham. That pranavrtteva sandushyer. In this body, we have air inside, isn't it? We call it as pranan also. Pranan is there. Pranan is nothing but air. Similarly, we breathe also inside. The air from the from outside, we breathe, isn't it? So, when the air gets breathed inside, the scientist says that we only need the oxygen. isn't it? Oxygen, what we need. Krishna's arrangement is so good, the soul, in other words, inside, is doing this. He takes this air inside, separates it inside into nitrogen, oxygen, CO2 and all that, takes only the oxygen from that inside and allows the rest to go, the CO2 to go out. Yeah? When the CO2 comes out, the trees who are standing there, they take it and they release oxygen to us. Look at that cycle what Krishna has created. Who is doing this? Imagine, normally, they have a system called, in the scientists have developed a technology called air separation, where they'll take air and they'll separate it into nitrogen, oxygen, like you know these companies like British Oxygen, they do that. There's so many companies who do it as a business. What they do from air, they separate that into different components. Then they sell it in, you must have seen them in the huge bottles, they transport it on the roads, you can see. Liquid nitrogen. How do they get nitrogen from? They separate it from air and transform that nitrogen into liquid form by different processes. So, this separating business, they do it mechanically. Companies like British Oxygen, Air Liquids, and so many companies, they do that. This is their business. They have got huge factories and plants to do that. Imagine the technology Krishna has put inside to do it. How nicely it's working. And that too, whether you are starting it, pushing it on or not, it keeps on working. Day in and day out. Night when you go to sleep, the air separation plant is working inside. It takes the oxygen, releases the CO2 outside. And still what do we say? God doesn't exist, isn't it? Such a highly technical system is working inside and it is operating day in and day out till the body drops. Even that is organized so systematically inside Krishna's. And it says here, pranairatyaiva sandushyair munir naivendriya priyaihi. That Muni knows that this is going on. I am taking something from outside. Pranaivrityaiva sandushyair munir naivendriya priyaihi. Jnanam yathana nashyeda savagir yedavang manaha. That pranavrti has to go on inside. Like the air is coming in, I'll take the air from outside. And it'll get separated inside by, I'm conscious, Krishna is separating it inside and sending it out when it is not necessary. What's necessary, it's taking, Krishna is doing that inside. So that is pranavrti. So pranavrti is important. Then we have got inside five different kinds of air. Panja pranam they are called, isn't it? You know about that. We discussed before in the Bhagavad Gita. Panja pranams are pranan, apanan, vyanan, samanan, udanan and vyanan. The five different kinds of air which is working inside. When the air goes inside, which is pranan, the pranan, they all have their own areas of circulation inside the body. For example, pranan is the one which moves around here in the face. Then vyanan is the one which is in the throat. The yogis, Yoga Shastram tells all these things. Samanan is the one which moves the air all around and allows the blood to circulate throughout the body all the time. That is done by Samanan. Udanan is that one which makes the which allows the food to digest inside. The Jadaragni. How that keeps going? Because of Samanan. Because of Vyanan. Udanan is the one which rejects the waste from the body. Because of the presence of Vyanan. So, Pranavanan, Samanan, Udanan, Vyanan. These five airs, the system has been so created, by Krishna's arrangement, they operate, so the body is functioning. Therefore, the body is functioning. So, anyone who has understood this Yoga Shastram, understood this technology of this separation, he says here, pranavrutteiva sandushir munir naivendriya priyaihi. That because it is functioning, one should feel happy about it. One should feel happy about it. Na eva indriya priyai. Not by satisfying the gross senses that one should feel happy about it. So, he says here, therefore, I should only accept that much food what is necessary to maintain this prana inside the body. I should not eat more than that. This is the lesson what he is talking about. That prana vrutteiva sandushye, that it should be only eaten as much necessary so that the prana can function. We should not, this is the important instruction. Because normally from anyone who wants to advance on the spiritual side of life, eating and sleeping has to come down. It's an important thing. Why? Because these are bodily necessities. And minimizing the bodily needs is important because it is from that that one understands, move on to the spiritual platform. Move on to the spiritual platform. Normally it is said, yogis prefer to eat only once a day. Once a day. So therefore he is called a yogi. One who eats twice a day is called a rogi. He is a sick person. And one who eats three times a day, he is a bhogi. He is a sense enjoyer. And one who eats four times a day, he is a drohi. There is no question of spiritual advancement. Drohi means he gives trouble to everybody else. Because with the what happens is, more the food goes inside, the prana shakti also becomes very, it affects the mind. We have seen that before, isn't it? Remember when we discussed Bhagavad Gita, that any solid food what goes inside, it turns into the meat or the flesh in the body, and the bones, the what's the thing called inside the bones, the marrow, and the bones. It turns into like that. It turns into flesh, it burns in the marrow and the bones and like that. The liquid turns into the blood, into the urine. But these are the gross side of these things, elements, the gross side of the food. The subtle elements, the more finer things, turns into mind. Whatever we eat, the finer things turns into mind. If you allow the mind to grow too much, mind gets disturbed and mind will look for sense enjoyment. So as a yogi, the Tathagata Maharshi is saying, I learned this one important thing. Pranavrutteiva sandushyer munir naive indriya priyaihi. I won't eat for sense gratification. I will eat only so that the pranan can function in the body. Only then the pranan can function in the body. When you read all these 24 spiritual masters, probably you may think that where am I now in this, isn't it? It will naturally come that question. Oh, I didn't realize spiritual life is all this difficult. I was thinking it's only I have to chant a few rounds every day and get an initiation done and then I am back in the spiritual world. And we also make these statements when somebody dies, so he's definitely gone back to spiritual world. Spiritual world is not such an easy, visa is not given so easily like that to the spiritual world. Unfortunately, these things are necessary in spiritual life before one can talk about spiritual world even. That's why it's spoken like this. Spiritual world is beyond all these things. So here, pranavrutteiva sandushyer munir naivendriya priyaihi. Then, only to sustain the pranan I will eat. But if I eat too much, it will affect the digestive system, the digestive power. That then the energy what is required, I need some energy to maintain this body. That is all actually coming from Brahman, isn't it? Because these material elements, pranan also. Is getting its strength. Where is the strength coming from? It's not even coming from the food. Although we take the food. Who gives that strength in the food so that we get the strength? It is coming from the soul again. So in other words, even if you take more than what is necessary, the Krishna's part and parcel inside would not like it, because you are trying to enjoy senses, not trying to please him. So the Tathagata Maharshi is saying here, I learned this important lesson. I should supply that much food what is necessary, so that pranavritti, the activities of pranam, can carry on, but not sense gratification, he says. Sometimes we think, if we have a big feast on every festival day, that is the perfection of spiritual life, isn't it? Often we get this understanding, oh, we had such a big feast, 108 preparations, and we tell whole world, such a big feast we had, and I had all 108 preparations, but next day I was lying flat. After the, what kind of spiritual life is this? Imagine. In bhakti process, these are all problems. Why? Because it's not on the proper understanding of spiritual life. Great devotees, they will not eat normally. They will try to avoid eating, and if they eat something, what's basically necessary to sustain the pranam. That's all. That is spiritual advancement. Not that I've eaten all 108 preparations or made the highest advancement in spiritual life. That's the way we see. Oh, it's prasadam. Oh, it's mahaprasadam. So I cannot reject it. And it's not because of respect of maha. It's only because of respect of my own self-gratification. That's all it is. Respect of maha comes much later. Anyway, important point here, that pranavrtaiva sandushet munir naivendriya prayahi. Spiritually advanced soul is telling us, eat only for pranavrtti, not for sense gratification, even if it is prasadam. Because prasadam is not that something quantity will change the situation. Whether you eat prasadam or not prasadam, you'll get sick if you eat too much. There's no doubt about that. Then, and our misconception has to go from inside. We can only follow these personalities. We can't follow others. Others will tell you so many things in this world, but they are not our authority is Krishna, nobody else. What Krishna says, that's a law, that's a rule, nothing else. And Krishna is saying this to Uddhava, quoting this incident between the Tathagata Maharshi and Yadu, that Uddhava, this is how they establish themselves in spiritual platform. If you want to follow, Uddhava was complaining to Krishna, that how can I become a sannyasi? How can I become develop vairagyam? These were the questions, isn't it? When tondu sarvam parityaja sneham svajana bandhushu mayavesha mana samyak samadrik vijarasugam, when Krishna said this to Uddhava, Uddhava's response was, how is that possible, Krishna? I cannot give up all these things. I cannot do this, I cannot do that, just like Arjuna said. So Krishna decided to open up a little bit more. So he started these instructions. And with these instructions, he started saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, it is like this. If you want to come back to me, you have to accept these things. There is no other course. You can go and listen to anybody, whatever you want to do. But at the end of the day, if you don't do this, what I have talked about, and if you don't follow this strictly, without deviating from that, your spiritual life is not going to work. Spiritual life is not going to work. These are fundamental issues. Great acharyas and devotees, they have stuck with this. You take, for example, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji and so many other great personalities. They all were very, very particular about these things. Renunciation, detachment, knowledge, and freedom from sense gratification. They all follow whom? Whom do they follow? Do they follow the rest of the world or do they follow the Tathagata Maharshi? They follow the Tathagata Maharshi because it's the Tathagata Maharshi's realizations that is taking them further in their spiritual life. So, then if you... Krishna says this also in the Bhagavad Gita, he speaks about this, isn't it? That unless you control eating habit, unless you control in the eating habit. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see there, I think it is in the 6th chapter, Krishna talks about it. Abare niyadaharam. Whether you are a process of bhakti, whether you are in the process of jnanam, doesn't matter, Krishna says. Wherever it is, it talks about the same thing. That Krishna says here, abare niyadaharam pranan. He says that aparenyadaharam. If you look into that verse, there are two verses which Krishna talks about that. Aparenyadaharam, anyadaharam, 253. So, here he says, Krishna says here, I'll read that out. Apane juhvati, apare niyadaharam, pranan praneshu juhvati. Pranan praneshu. Apane juhvati pranam, prane panam, tadhapare. Prana apane gadi yudhva, pranayama parayana. Pranayama parayana. Apare niyadaharam, pranan praneshu juhvati. Pranan praneshu juhvati. Translation. And there are others who are inclined to the process of breath restraint to remain in trance, and they practice stopping the movement of the outgoing breath into incoming and incoming breath into the outgoing, and thus at last remain in trance, stopping all breathing. Some of them, curtailing the eating process, offer the outgoing breath to itself as a sacrifice. So this is in the fourth chapter. You can see upon avare apane juhudi pranam, pranapanam tathapare, pranapana gadhirudhva, pranayama parayana, apare niyadaharam, pranan praneshu jihvati. Apare niyadaharam, pranan praneshu jihvati. So, pranan and the food, they are closely connected. If we at least recognize that, pranan and the food is very closely connected. And if we do not control the food, it will affect the pranan, the circulation of the pranan, which means your spiritual mind will be disturbed and spiritual life also will be disturbed. So that's important thing. We'll discuss this next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.